You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And also welcoming in Edinburgh Mission. Can we welcome Edinburgh? They're with us now. And all of you listening online, we welcome you as well. Well, we began the year 21 days of prayer. And prayer is really our conversation to the Lord. And in February, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the Word of God. And this is where we hear from God. Prayer is where we tell Him things. And in the Word of God, when we study it, when we read it, it's when He speaks to us. I want you to do both, but to be honest, as your pastor, I really hope that you have ears to hear what He would tell you. I think so much would be better. And so if you're a seasoned, disciplined disciple of Christ who is in the scriptures every single day, well, you'll just be encouraged by this. Maybe it's new to you and you've had seasons where you studied scripture, you read scripture regularly, but it's kind of on again, off again. I hope to just embolden you and encourage you in this new year. And for some of you, you're in your early stages of faith and you've never really studied scripture. You've never really read it for yourself. You hear it taught. You've read books about it maybe, but you yourself, maybe you feel intimidated. There's a lot you don't understand. Give me the next 4 weeks. Let's look at it practically, theologically, and I hope to muster courage within you to read this amazing book. And we're gonna look at it from a lot of different angles over the next several weeks. But Jesus made a lot of claims about scripture and He had reason to. In fact, in John 1, it was simply said, in the beginning was the Word, just called the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14, it tells us who the Word is. And the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. And He made His dwelling among us. In other words, when I study Scripture, I find Jesus. Study the Word, discover Jesus. Old Testament, New Testament, read the Word, find Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. And He made a lot of claims about the Word. And so my goal for the next few weeks is that you would fall in love with Scripture. And maybe you don't have that kind of thought about it. And as you fall in love with Scripture, well, then you learn it. And the more you learn it, then you build your life on it. And that's what I want to talk about today, is building your life on God's Word. You with me this morning? And I think one of the things we have to understand first is that the Bible is alive. It's different than any other book on a shelf. It has the potential and the life-giving force within it. It does things and it has power within it in ways that no other book can do. In fact, look at it this way, in going back to the book of John, Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life." And by the way, this word spirit, it's the English translation of a Greek word pneuma. And the translators probably didn't know what to do. A lot of Greek words, it would take a paragraph to try and describe pneuma. Literal translation would be breath, but it didn't sound very good if you said the words that I've spoken to you are breath. But think of it as the breath of God. Think of it as His word comes with power. And so you put together these things where there's not just words and information, but there's power. That's the idea behind Scripture. It's more than just words. It's different than any other thing. Look at it in Hebrews 4. Again, the Word of God, it's living. Have you found this to be true? If not, I pray over this next month, you understand this verse in a more brighter, full-color way. The Word of God is living. It's active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. In other words, it gets up inside of us, and it does surgery. What other book does that? It's not just a history book. It actually activates something within us, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's powerful. The Scripture is alive, it's active, is what the writer of Hebrews is getting us to see here. You're not just getting information, you're getting power to do the information. And it's a huge miss if we read the Word of God and yet be unchanged. My hope is that we fall in love so that we will live out and build our lives on His Word. Now, in order for this to happen, in order for the Scriptures to come alive, there's a step, and I want to start with some theology and then we'll get really practical, okay? But in order to make the Word come alive in us, there's some things that we got to understand. First of all, it requires faith. Faith activates the Word of God. It begins with a belief and an understanding that this is indeed the Word of God. Faith, it works like a trigger for all spiritual things in our life. In fact, going back to Hebrews, it says it this way, and it's speaking about those that heard the gospel, the Israelites in the Old Testament. They heard God speak, but they didn't believe. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value. Why? Because those who heard did not combine it with faith. They heard God speak, they just didn't combine it and marry it with faith. It takes faith to understand and to dive in. In the New Testament, it said it this way also, that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that don't believe. You don't have faith, then you don't even understand the Word of God. It takes faith. Well, then obvious question is, well, what activates our faith? You're like, Rick, I'm all in, but how do I get faith? Well, let's go to this. Revelation activates your, what's revelation? Look, there's times when you're reading this book and it comes alive. And you have these aha moments where you're like, whoa, I see myself, I see what's going on. And in the Greek, we see this one word for word, but there's actually two ideas behind this. First, the word, there's the written word, or just when it's spoken about, just the common word, information exchange. We're all getting that right now as I'm talking about it. It's the logos word. We're looking at it this way. But beyond that, the word is at times a revealed or a revelation. There's something that goes basically, think of it this way, from here to here. And this is the power. This, when you combine these things together, you need both. I need to digest the word. I need to just get it into my mind. But then there's times it goes from my mind into my soul, deep within. And that's where there's power. You've all experienced this in different ways, this dynamic. When you've read something and it was good, you just thought, okay, I read it. But then maybe somebody taught on it or you prayed about it, you thought about it more, deeper. And suddenly your eyes were open to a biblical truth. And the Bible says the truth sets us free. And suddenly, just like chains come off, and it's like something gets revealed. You've had it happen maybe where you read something during the week, and then maybe you came to church, or you read a book, or something that expounded on it and showed you greater things. Again, the Bible is active. It's alive. It has power to do things when that word, and let me give you an illustration. A good illustration of this is the Annunciation to Mary. When Mary, we just had Christmas, where she was told, hey, you're gonna give birth to Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, look at this exchange between her and an angel. Her response is to the word, well, how can this be? An angel of God, mind you, is telling her something dramatic's gonna happen. But in her mind, she's thinking, well, how can, I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, now notice what the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God. And then the angel says this to her, and I think he's saying it to all of us. For no word from God will ever fail. Rhema. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant. Suddenly something changed. What changed? She heard the word from the angel before. Hey, you're going to get purchased. And in her mind, of course, she's thinking, well, I'm a virgin. What are we talking about here? Limited understanding, no deeper insight. The angel kept talking, and suddenly it was revealed to her, and her response then was suddenly, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. And she was with child. That's an extreme example, but it happens whenever we understand the word is alive. It has power. And so you come around this, and you're like, okay, great. How do you get the Bible to come alive? It takes faith. Well, how do you get faith? You need revelation. well, how do I get more revelation? Well, let's drill down just a little deeper. And I said everything I said to this point just to get to this. Meditation activates revelation. And when I say meditation, what am I meaning? What am I talking about? I'm just saying it takes time. Some time to really get the word of God deep within us. In our hurried up, fast-paced world, it means you have to slow down. You have to declutter some things. You have to find some space to be alone. You have to let the word of God do its work. You can't always be on the go saying, I need a truth that's gonna be revealed, that's gonna set me free, but I got 2 minutes. Maybe it means, no, I'm gonna have to slow down a little bit. In fact, look at what it says in Joshua 1. Again, talking about the book of the law. Don't let it depart from your mouth. What does it say? Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything that's written in it. And then, notice the promise. Who doesn't want this for 2020? Then you will be prosperous and successful. And we end with that and we're like, okay, I'm in. What do I got to do? Well, slow down. Meditate on the word of God. It's alive. It's active. It'll do a deep thing within us. But you're going to have to, if you want it to really grow, this idea of meditate, by the way, is the same word. They get the word ruminate. And it's cows chewing their cud is what it's called, where the cow gets all the nutrients possible out of every bite and just chews on it, absorbing all the nutrients. And it actually throws it back up, gross, I know. And they chew it on it again in 4 stomachs. And this process happens. They're not chewing gum. They're getting all the nutrients out of it as possible. And this is the image and this is the idea in that word that you, when you read the word, that you get all of it you possibly can. I want to get all of it out that I can. Jesus wanted us to understand the value of this. He spoke about it often. One of the times when he was talking about it, he was talking about how a wise man builds his house upon a rock. And the rock was the word. You're wise when you build upon it. And I like how it says it in the Message paraphrase. And we're going to talk in the next several weeks about different translations and paraphrase. What does this mean? But basically a paraphrase means they took the English translation and put it in even a more common modern English words. And look at it in this in Matthew 7. It says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. No, they are the foundation words, words to build a life on. And if you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. And he would go on to say and let you know that, hey, storms are coming, winds are coming. Maybe you're like, well, come on, Rick, can't you be more positive? Well, I'm positive, storms are coming, winds are coming in 2020. Things will happen and gonna hit up against your house. You wanna be anchored to something bigger than you. The word of God is active, it's alive. Are you using it in your life? Are you building your house on the word of God? Are you building your life on the word of God? Or is it just kind of there? And so how do I do this? Let's get practical for the remainder of our time. And again, over the next several weeks, we're going to look even more at it. But the first thing that I think is important, if I'm going to engage the word of God, I have to accept its authority. And we are in a culture that is constantly questioning the authority of Scripture and God's word and the use of it. Is it just simply a historical book but not applicable for today? And I think this is a question that will always come up at some point in our spiritual walk. Do I really believe God's word? When it talks to me about certain things, when it talks to me about finance, when it talks to me about marriage and how I should live, do I kind of henpick what I like? I like the encouraging parts, but I really don't want to do anything if it tells me to do something I don't want to do. There has to be a point in everybody's life where you say, do you accept it or not? Do you believe when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? There is no way to the Father but by me. Our culture will have you believe, well, there's a lot of ways. Come on. They were a good person. That's not what the Bible says. Do you build your life on God's word or not? We're talking about building your life on the word. Do you accept its authority? How do you view it? The Bible isn't just a bunch of good thoughts, little bits of wisdom here and there. Do you believe it's the inerrant word of God? And we should wrestle with it and do our best to live by it. And maybe you say, well, I don't know. There's just a lot I don't understand. I don't understand how my car works, really. I'm not a mechanic, but I drive it. I don't understand how my cell phone works. It's not even a cell phone anymore. It's a camera. It's a recorder. It's a video recorder. It does all these apps. It does all these. I don't understand how any of it works, but I use it. I don't even understand how digestion works, but I eat. Can I keep going? Do you understand? There's a lot I don't understand, but I still engage. There's the in the Word, and by the way, you're never going to fully understand. It's inspired by God, and His ways are not our ways. There's some things a lifetime of learning can't reveal. It's just that deep. But with what you know and what you receive, do you decide? No, I have decided to accept its authority. I love what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2. We also thank God continually because, and he's talking about this early church, hey, you received the word. You received it. You didn't just hear it. You made a decision. You received it, which you heard from us. You accepted it. You accepted it, not as a word of man, but actually as it is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. You want it to be at work in you? You got to receive it. You got to accept it. It's a decision. Have you made that decision? And if you have, and you look back just this week, how much time have you spent in it? How much time has it affected you? Jesus said a wise man builds his house on a rock, and the rock is the word of God. And when the winds and rains come, you're going to stand because you've built your house upon something bigger than you. Do you accept its authority? Let's go even deeper. You can't just accept it, but then you assimilate its truths. To assimilate means basically I put it to work. And I think about it and I let it trickle down into the different areas of my life. And I let it do its deep work in me. When it says things about marriage, finance, or different things, I have to assimilate it. I let it do its work. Let me give you some subpoints here. How do you assimilate it? Well, first, by doing what we're doing here, you listen to the word of God. You got to hear it. You got to listen to it. There's something powerful that happens whenever we do this. And maybe you're like, well, you're preaching to the choir. We're here. You know what happens, though? Can I just be pastor just for a moment? Sometimes I'll run into somebody and they'll say, oh, this weekend's message, I needed that. I mean, we weren't going to come, but man, we came and oh, it's just what we need. And I, whoa, back up. You weren't going to come? You mean you're waking up flipping coins saying, I don't know, should we do it today or not? How do you feel? It was a busy weekend. We had soccer games. There was a big game. There's a big game tonight. We got to prepare. Why don't you predetermine in 2020, as for me and my house, we're going to listen to the word of God. We're going to put ourselves and receive the word of God. We're not flipping coins. I just was raised this way. You're in church. One day a week, it's a Sabbath, it's a holy day. It's a day where you submit and all the leadership and all the things that we got to go do 6 days. But one day we receive and we listen and there's something powerful that happens. Romans says it this way. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You got to hear it. Don't be flipping coins this year and saying, I don't know, how do you feel? How do you? If you wait till you feel good, Satan will make sure you never feel like it. The best things in life don't happen because they feel good. They happen because it's a discipline, it's a priority. Predetermine. Don't put it in pencil, put it in ink. We'll be at church. We'll be at church. I'm gonna listen to it. And Jesus, he was teaching on this and he gave a parable of a sower. And the sower would have a big basket of seed and would just throw the seed into the field. And he would say, those seeds, sometimes they fall in the good place, but sometimes they fall amongst weeds, rocks, or even the path where it doesn't even take root. And notice what Jesus says in response to that. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Puts the burden on you. What kind of soil are you? It's not on the sower. What kind of soil are you? I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to let it do its deep work. Frequently when I pray, I say, Lord, set thy plow to my fallow ground. Turn up the soil of my soul, and may the seed of your word go deep within, and may its roots go deep and bear much fruit in my life. I got to listen. I got to hear it. I got to hear it. And not just hear it, but I got to read it. Not just listening, but I got to read God's word. And we're going to talk more about this in the next few weeks, and I'm going to really make the case. You say, well, how often should I read it? Well, think of it as bread. How often do you want bread? In fact, the Bible says about the bread, Jesus answered whenever he was tempted by Satan. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. That, hey, just like you want bread each day, well, you got to get in the word. You got to read it. And can I just get even more specific? I recommend to all of you, get a paper Bible. I love technology, and YouVersion is one of the most amazing things on your smartphone, if you have that. And I realize coming to church these days, there's so many different translations. People rarely even bring their Bible to church. I'm okay with that. But when I sit down to read, not when I'm writing a sermon, when I'm reading for me, I take this Bible. This is the Bible I've been reading last several years. I've been studying out of. I've worn several out. I've had several rebound. But this is the one I've been in. Get a Bible you can write in. You say, well, it's so nice, I don't want to write it. Well, get one you can write it, all right? And you can highlight. And if I'm using some tool, even if it's online or somehow some technological tool to help me read, I still read it in this book. And there's something powerful that happens when you have it in a paper Bible. And if you don't have a paper Bible, first of all, you should have one. We live in a country where you can buy them. I've been in countries where look, when I was in Russia, they used to have hidden printing presses under communism. They kept them there because they weren't sure they'd ever have Bibles, have the freedom again. They might lose it because they had lost it before. We have the freedom of Scripture. And if you don't have a Bible, stop by these tables right here. We'll give you one right after service. And you can write in that Bible, I promise you. And we'll give you one. But get one that you can write in. Get one that you sit down and you watch what happens over a period of time. It comes alive and there's landmarks in here where you highlighted and you wrote. And I remember highlighting that. I could go page after page after page and that Bible become, you know, you pull it up on your phone, that's everyone's Bible. But this is my Bible. There's something about that. I travel with this. It goes where I go. Not just get a paper Bible, but set aside time. You got to have a time. If you, again, you wait till you feel like it, Satan will make sure you never feel like it. It's a discipline. You set aside 15 minutes. 15 minutes at the start of the day. Move that alarm back. Don't just rush into your days. 15 minutes to quiet yourself, to read. The Bible's alive. It's active. If you do this, it will come alive even more. But if you don't have a disciplined time and you just say, well, I'm too busy. I'll catch up later and later and later. Pretty soon, it's the end of the day. And you didn't do it. I would say also get a plan. Have a plan. In other words, when you read it, there's 66 different books. It was written over 1,600 years, just dozens of authors. We're going to look deeper at the formation of Scripture in the next few weeks. But get a plan to read. You say, well, I don't even know where to start. Start in the book of John. That's a good place to start. It's one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's like four reporters following Jesus, telling their story of Jesus' life. Book of John is a great narrative telling the story of Jesus. Read two chapters a day. Why don't you throw in two Psalm and one Proverb and just mix it up? Otherwise, with 66 different books, you can just start one day and just say, without a plan, you open your Bible and you just start reading about infectious skin diseases. There's a purpose. There's a reason it's there. Come on Wednesday night, Jerry, we'll tell you why. But get a plan, all right? Not just that, but this is so important. Don't just read the Bible, let it read you. In other words, it's alive, it's active. And when I sit with Scripture and I read it, I whisper, just like I said, Lord, take thy plow into my fallow ground, turn over the soil of my soul. And as I read your word today, may your seed go deep within and may it bear much fruit in my life. That's what I pray. Lord, let it read me. I'm not in here looking for a sermon for somebody else. I'm looking for you to speak to me. It's alive. Have you found it to be true? Scripture comes alive when you read it like this, but you're going to have some discipline. And maybe in 2020, you've not done this well. Let's just be honest. Here's a way that you can do it well. Get your own Bible. Set aside some time, get a plan, and then just let it read you and watch what happens. Over the next 4 weeks, give me these next 4 weeks, and I believe together we're going to increase our courage and discipline to do this. And by the end of the year, you watch what happens. The Word is going to be much more active in your life, and you will build your life on the Word of God and be prosperous and successful in the best ways. Not only that, but then we need to explore it. So we listen, we read, but again, week four, a little bit next week, we're going to look at how to explore Scripture. How do we get all that we should out of it? And again, it's a daunting book, but how can we explore it? In Psalm 119, I love this verse. May it be said of us, I have hidden your word in my heart. And notice this last part, that I may not sin against you. Some of you have been struggling with sin. There's been things that you've been wrestling with and wrestling with and wrestling with. And you're wondering, how am I going to get over this? And what's ever going to change? You've underestimated the power of God's word. The psalmist said, no, I have hid it in my heart so that I may not sin against you. In 2020, you can have victory over that sin. That sin issue that's become this familiar area of defeat can be overcome in Jesus' name and the power of his word. The Bible says it's a sword. It's that strong. It's defense. It fights back. It shows you. It's active. It's alive. It's not just a book sitting on a shelf. There is power in here in the word of God. Are you with me today? So true. One last thought as I close is I got to apply it. I really have to engage it. In order for it to come alive, there's going to be some things that's going to talk about my temperament, my attitude, maybe how some actions, maybe offering forgiveness, that as I read through this, it's going to give me some instruction. I got to apply it. I got to read it and then apply it. I got to put legs to it, hands to it, eyes to it, mouth to it. I got to apply God's word. In fact, James just said it so clearly to us. Don't merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. When we do that, again, it's active, it's powerful, it's alive. I want to leave you with this thought. There is a verse for every situation that you'll go through. Some of you have learned this, but as I've gone through my life, Terry and I, as we've gone through our life, we have found that there's seasons where we're holding on to a verse, and we're claiming that verse over a situation. No weapon formed against me will prosper in Jesus' name. You have made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Have you found this to be true? My wife frequently, especially as she's going through women's Bible studies, there's verses that she puts on note cards, and they're all over, on mirrors. The other day, I was in her car. I was going somewhere. I borrowed her car, and she had verses on the dashboard. She couldn't read. I don't know how she found out she was out of gas. She had verses everywhere. If you've seen her drive, you know why. Just kidding. Just a little humor. You have to forgive. But there are seasons where you need what I'm telling you, and maybe you're in that season right now. And the word has never been alive to you like that. You're just going through, tossed to and fro with problems. And you've never used the word of God as an anchor point or a weapon. 13 months ago, on December 30th, 2018, my friend Ron Kelly, he's one of our pastors on staff. He's retired from full-time work, but still counsels and pastors and shepherds many of you. 13 months ago, he leaves church, he goes home, slips in the kitchen, bangs his head on the counter, and hits face first on a hard floor. Freak accident. And he's a very fit guy, 30 years in the Army, runs several miles every day, push-ups, sit-ups, every day of his life. Next thing he knows, there's a doctor looking at him. His neck is fully in a cage. The doctor's saying, you've had a severe spinal injury. You'll never walk again. You'll be in a wheelchair. And one thing about Ron, he understands the point of this message and has lived it his adult life. He has applied the Word of God. He knows the Word of God. And that began a journey last year. We prayed for him in service many times. How is he going to get through this? Some of the pastors on staff would say, they would go see him. His head was in this thing, his arms out like this. And to know Ron, you know that whenever you greet him, you say, hello, how are you doing? He always says, I'm blessed and highly favored. And laying in that bed like this, Ron, how are you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, this week, Ron, as he walked into my office, I said, tell me more about this. What was it like this last year? He didn't know what I was speaking on. But he said, Rick, every day there would just be a verse. And I'd take that verse and I'd believe that verse. I would do the work in the natural I'm supposed to do, but it's a miracle. There was no magic pill or surgery that was used. It's the Word of God. And I built my life on the Word of God. I'm here today because of the Word of God. I'm standing today because of the Word of God. Ron, would you stand? We love you, Ron. What I love about Ron's story, don't wait until a doctor's looking at you and then think, you know, I need to get the Word in me. He already had made a decision to build his life on the Word. He had already decided, I'm going to understand the Word of God. I'm going to use it in my life. It's going to be active. It's going to be alive. And he's used that to help empower and set free so many other people. But when it came down to it and this freak accident happened, he had it inside of him. And my concern for you and your household is you're not taking advantage of the best tool that you'll ever get, the Word of God. It's active. It's powerful. Give us the next 4 weeks. Let's dive in this together. Would you stand with me here in Edinburgh?
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.